desire and aim to have the Lord daily endeavor by His grace and strength to reach higher ground. Because you know, if we're not getting to higher ground, then we're either going to lower ground or staying in the same place. And I don't believe that that's God's desire for any one of us. I believe His desire is that we endeavor to reach higher heights and deeper depths in Him. So that's certainly my desire. I desire your prayers this morning, the thought that the Lord has given, it would be expressed as He would have it to be expressed. Examination, the thought the Lord has given. You know, examination is defined as the act or process of examining, the state of being examined. So then what does exam mean? Well, so exam means to inspect closely, to test the condition of, to inquire into carefully, to interrogate closely, to test by questioning in order to determine progress. You think about examinations in a natural sense, though all of us have been in school and we've taken exams, and we know the point of an exam is to see how much we understand, to see what we know. If you've been being taught something in a class, now it's time to see if what's been taught has been going in your mind and finding a place, to see if you retain that information, to see if you know it. You know, that's not the only way that you can examine things. You know, sometimes maybe we think about our life in general. You ever thought about where you are in life? You know, you think about as you start as a young child, and as you grow up and you get a little bit older, maybe you have things that you desire to accomplish. And you know, maybe I can look back maybe when I was in my 20s, and I can think and say, well, my plan is by this age, I'm going to maybe have this kind of car. I'm going to have these different things that I have, you know, the goals maybe that I wanted to have. You know, and then as you think back and as I look at my life now and I can examine it, I can recognize, well, how have I done? Some of those things that I desire to accomplish, you know, that we think about life, the word says that 70, and if by reason of strength, 80. So if I think about the age I am now, I'm halfway past the 80. So if I look at my life and examine my life, I can recognize that if the Lord will, my life is no doubt half over. So I can examine it and say, well, what things have I accomplished? Have I accomplished the things that I wanted to accomplish in life? You know, sometimes we can look at our lives in a natural sense, and sometimes we have regrets, don't we? Maybe we have some things that we look at and some things that we've done in our life in a natural sense, maybe some decisions that we made, and you think about it now, you know, you think about the saying, hindsight is 20/20, right? So we can look back and say, well, if I could have done something differently, maybe these goals or these aspirations that I had, you know, I don't know if you know, you think about sometimes as a child, you know, if I could make $60,000, you know, you think about, well, You can look and you can say, well, where am I at along those lines? Well, could I have done some things differently? You know, I think about examination again in a natural sense. We think about people that have 401k, right? What's the purpose of the 401k? You want to be able to retire one day, right? So you can make an examination of your 401k. You can sit down with a financial planner and they can tell you, based on how much you put in and the age that you are now, how you're progressing with your plan to be able to retire one day. And they may tell you, well, based on where you at now, this is what you would get if you retire at a certain age, 65 or 70, whatever it might be. And your financial planner might tell you, well, you're going to have to set aside a little more. Because I'm looking at your portfolio as it is right now, and you're coming up short. You're going to have to make some changes. If you say you set a goal that I want to retire at 65 years old, you know, and they have formulas and different things to be able to calculate how much money you're going to need. So then you have to sit down and examine it and say, well, if I want to reach that goal, then I'm going to have to do some things. May have to put some more money aside if I still want to reach that goal, or I'm going to have to push that time out. You know, I think about, there's an example of someone in the Bible that was examining his life. Let's turn to the 12th chapter of Luke. Very familiar text of scripture, starting at verse 16. Luke 12, verse 16, we're going to read down through verse 21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. So if you think about this man, he's examining his life. He's looking at what he has, and he's recognizing that, oh, I'm so blessed. I have so much that everything that I have so more than I can fit it in. In other words, I need to make some bigger barns because my fields are so plenteous that I don't have room to store it. You know, you wonder what thought didn't cross his mind. The thought didn't cross his mind. Maybe I could give some to somebody else. He didn't think about that, did he? He just said, well, where I'm storing my goods is not big enough. So the logical thing for me to do is to make my barns bigger. That's what he did, right? He's looking at it and he's examining it and he's saying, I need to rectify this situation, so I guess I'll build bigger barns. I have so much stuff that I need to somewhere larger to put it all in. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, thinking he's sitting back, maybe in his chair, putting his fingers and resting them back and saying, oh, saying to myself, I done good. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, I've filed all I need to file away. I've done all this work. Now I can take it easy. I can take it easy now because I got plenty. I got plenty and I have much stored up. So now I can relax and be at ease. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? God had something else for him to think about. Now, you've done all this, and guess what? Your life is about to end. Now, what's going to happen to all that you stored up? Who's going to get it? You know, no doubt, person thought about that. Wow, whoa, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that. My attention was so much on gathering all I could get and holding it and keeping it that I didn't think about, well, my life might not last as long as I think it might. But thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So we think about these, we think about this example in a natural sense, about all this planning to be, have everything that he needed for years and years and years, and yet he wasn't even going to get to enjoy it. So as we think about examination, let's consider it in a spiritual sense. And we take the time to think about our life spiritually, to take an examination, to sit down and think about where are we along the journey and the pathway of life. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. The 13th chapter and the 5th verse. It said, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be probates. You know, when it comes to a spiritual examination, that's between me and God. That's between you and God. It has nothing to do with anybody else. Said, examine yourself. The Amplified says, examine and test and evaluate yourself to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. So in other words, we examine our lives according to God's word. It's not a time where we start comparing ourselves with our brother or with our sister. When we look, think about in a spiritual examination, it's an individual matter. What my brother and my sister is doing or not doing has nothing to do with me. I must examine myself to see where I am. See whether I'm upholding to the faith and showing the proper fruits. You know, we think about that definition of closely inspecting. Interrogate closely, to inquire carefully. It's not something that's just, oh, I'm going to check this out. You know, it's a thorough look and see. It's not a quick skim over. You know, sometimes, you know, maybe when we misplace something, we can try to find it. But there are times when we just, it's kind of like a cursory look, where we just don't put much effort into it. But we go and, oh, I can't find it. But, you know, when it's something that you really need, that you have to find, that you're going to put some effort into it. You're going to really diligently look and search for it. You're going to try to find it with all your might, so to speak. That's how we have to be with our spiritual life. It has to be a close examination. It can't be something that's just a quick whim. We have to really think about and consider it. test and prove ourselves. Do not yourself realize and know, the writer said, you have to know that Jesus Christ is in you. And we can know, can't we? We know if God is dwelling within us. It's not something, well, he might be, maybe be, you know, we know. We know if God is dwelling within us because we can feel it. And it comes out in the things that we say and the things that we do. We were talking about that in Sunday school, about people professing the name of God. But yet, their actions and the things that they say, their attitudes, they're not consistent. They're not consistent. So we can know, hey, it's not just a matter about saying it, because it's what's down in our heart. If Jesus is in our heart, he's going to come out. What's inside is going to come out. We don't have to worry about trying to hide it. Or people that say they're one thing because, you know, as the verse says, blessings and cursings coming out the same mouth. Those things ought not to be. You know, you think about exams. You know, sometimes maybe you take an exam when you were in school. You know, what do you ask your neighbor? What'd you get? What was your score? I got, you know, and maybe those times when your score was a little higher, you were more willing to share. I got a 95. See, here's my paper. Versus the times maybe when it was in the 70s. Oh, no, I'm not. I don't want to tell. I don't want to share. You know, but as we think about a spiritual examination, it's not about comparing. We're not comparing papers. We're not comparing scores. How did you do? That's between me and God. That's between you and God. And when we think about our spiritual life, we can think about and consider, are we satisfied with our progress? Are we satisfied where we are in our life? You know, I can look back and think, you know, well, what did, in a spiritual sense, you think about people set goals. Have we set spiritual goals? Those are more important than the natural goals that we can set in life. Have I set spiritual goals? Where do I want to be 10 years down the road? We were just singing about the song about, Lord, lift me up. In 10 years, I don't want to be in the same place. I don't want to be having to deal with the same trials over and over and over again. You know, God does send redos. He'll send us redos. You didn't quite go through that one right. Guess what? Here it comes again. I don't want to be dealing with the same trials 10 years from now. I want to be on a higher plane so I can look in my life and realize I need to make some progress. You know, sometimes people want to do the same thing, but they want to expect a different result. Isn't that the definition of insanity, I believe they say? You do the same thing, but you expect a different result. If I look at my life in a spiritual sense and I see I'm not progressing like I would desire to progress, I'm not progressing as God would have me to progress, I can look at my life and recognize I need to make some changes. You know, if I'm trying, coming to church one day a week ain't working, there is service three times a week. God can help us. It's available to us. It's just up to us to closely examine and recognize what we have to do on an individual basis. You know, we can talked about having regrets and things. You know, sometimes that can happen spiritually. You know, we can look back and say, I should be further down the road. I should be further along in my walk with the Lord. But you know what? Yesterday's gone. You know, we can't do anything about the past. The past is behind us. We can't go and relive it. But you know what we can do? We can draw a line, as they say, in the sand. Be like, all right, maybe I haven't been what I should have been up to this point. But from now on, by God's help and by God's grace, I aim to reach higher ground. Lord, lift me up and help me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, by your help and grace and strength, from this point forward, I'm going to do better. I can't do anything about the time that's passed. That's gone. Today, I can do something about today. I can do something today by God's help and by God's grace. I can set spiritual goals in my life. You know, we think about that. When you think about, maybe you ask a question to somebody, what are your goals? What do you want to be when you grow up? You know, it's a natural response to think, you know, I want to do this as a career. I want to do this, or I want to be a banker. I want to be an architect. I want to be an accountant. You know what we should be asking? What is your, spiritually speaking, where do you want to be with God? I want to be a vessel that God can use. I want to be in the place that God would have me to be. I want to be found pleasing and honoring Him in everything. What is the purpose of life? You know, I know we have to live, and it's necessary to do those things, but what's the most important thing in my life? Pleasing God and fulfilling the specific purpose that He has for me. That's the most important thing. I want to be in the place that God would have me to be. You know, as we think about setting some spiritual goals, Lord, in the next year, in the next 5 years, I want to be draw closer to you. I want to be on that higher plane. I want to be dealing with, you know, trials and tests of life are going to happen. We don't have a choice with that. But if we are further along as we need to be, at least we can deal with some different ones. I want to be facing some different trials, knowing that God has specific plan for each and every one of us in our life. I want to be fulfilling the specific purpose that He has for me. Think about, we have a perfect example, don't we? Jesus came, and He was the perfect example for us. We have all that He did right here in His Word. He left an example for us. You know, we heard about last Sunday about paying the price. And we think about, have we paid the price? Have we counted the cost? Have we counted the cost of life and the purpose of life and the meaning of life? And, you know, if we put all our efforts into just natural things, what is that going to come to? Just as the one that we just read about. I'm so plenteous. I got to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. He didn't count the cost, did he? He didn't count the cost if his soul should be lost. He just was thinking about what I have right now and how I can keep a hold to it. We have to count the cost. When we examine our lives in a spiritual sense, where are we going? You know, if we think about our goal is to make heaven our home. If you went and asked anybody, do you want to go to heaven? What answer do you think you're going to get? I'm pretty sure that everybody's going to tell you yes. You know, even when you think about in general, just everybody gets preached into heaven nowadays, don't they? So everybody wants to go to heaven, right? So then if you think about that, that's the goal. What am I doing to get there? If I look at my life and where I'm at right now, am I on the path to get there? So if I have a goal to make heaven my home and the pathway is here and I'm going that way, that seems to be a problem to me. Because I don't know how I can get there if I'm going this way and I need to go that way. So I can examine myself and recognize some changes need to happen. What I'm doing, I'm not heading in the right pathway. What I'm doing right now is not working. I need to make some changes. I need to make some changes. You know, we talked about the fact that yesterday is gone. All we have is now. Tomorrow isn't promised to us, is it? Is anybody here that's tomorrow's promised to? No. We don't have tomorrow. If the Lord will, we'll have tomorrow. All we have is today. We have today. There's a verse of scripture in the 9th chapter of John. Admonishes us to take advantage of the present time. We have to take advantage of now. Because yesterday is gone. We can't go backwards. And again, tomorrow is not promised to us. So all we have is today. The 9th chapter of John and the 4th verse. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. No man can work. While it is day. One writer said, by this we are taught that no opportunity for doing good should be omitted. No opportunity for doing good should be omitted. And we realize that day in this scripture represents opportunity, and night is the loss of that opportunity. So we think about working while it is day. In other words, when an opportunity is presented to me to show forth God's love, his graces, his mercy to be found in the center of his will, that I have to take advantage of that opportunity while it's presented to me. Because the night comes where I may not have that opportunity again. It may not come around a second time. We can't afford missed opportunities. Lord, help me as I journey along my pathway of life. When the Lord gives me opportunity to speak a word for him, to witness for him, that I be found in that place. You know, I believe it was mentioned this morning in Sunday school about there, we don't know things that we may hear over and over again. There may be somebody that they only hear it one time. One time. Lord, help us. These opportunities that he gives us. Our duty is to employ all our time into doing the will of God. We can't afford missed opportunities. Lord, help me as I go from day to day to take advantage. I never know if that person that I see, that Lord, that God is dealing with me to speak to in some kind of way, I may not ever see them again. I don't want their soul on my hands because I didn't follow God's leading. I didn't attend to his voice and his dealings with me. That's so I may not ever see. That may have been their opportunity. I want to be faithful in that. You know, God can help us to seek opportunities. You know, we can see. You know, I made mention of it a few Wednesdays ago about driving on the freeway and having somebody just not even let me get in. And you know what? That was an opportunity. So I prayed for that person. I don't know what they was dealing with or what they was going through, but Lord, would you bless them today? I can seek out an opportunity to pray for people. Don't know what they're dealing with. Well, instead of saying, you know, look at you not letting me in. Lord bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. Whatever you're dealing with, may God come down and bless you today. That's an opportunity. God can give us those opportunities. So the next time somebody cut us off or cut in front of us in the line, we can pray for them. The Lord bless you. You go right ahead. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Have a blessed day. You know, I think that was mentioned in Sunday school as well. You know, talking about walking around just with your head down. If we're not looking up and out with a smile on our face, how are we going to encourage and reach anybody else? If I'm got my head down looking around, I look just as troubled as the next person. What's wrong with you? You know, it's like you think about sometimes when you have more of a joyful attitude and somebody, people ask you, what's wrong with you? You know, it should be the other way around. I'm happy. I've got, as the sister was talking about this morning, happy in the Savior. I'm happy in the Lord. I got Jesus with me each and every day in my life. That's why I'm happy. You know, we think about being diligent in doing God's work. Because you know what? Another thing that night can represent, day represents our life, right? And night can represent when we're no longer alive. So that's why it's so important to be busy while we have life, while we have breath, to be found doing God's will. Being in the center of his will, following his leadings, his dealings, his guidings, being in the place that he would have us to be. Because tomorrow isn't promised. Our life is a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. That's that in the story that we read about. He's planning about how he's going to keep all this stuff and where he's going to put it. Not realizing that tomorrow wasn't even his. Didn't even belong to him. I'm planning for tomorrow. Don't do tomorrow what you can do today. Especially when we think about our spiritual life. We can't put it off till tomorrow. While God is working and dealing with us, when he reveals himself to us, we need to make a move right then and right now. We can't wait. Behold, now is the accepted time, the word says. When God is speaking to us and revealing himself to us, we need to take advantage of it. Because tomorrow isn't promised. And he may not deal in that way again. We can't afford missed opportunities. Let's turn to the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. It's not going to do any good in the grave because you won't be able to do anything with it. So in other words, take advantage of now. We have to take advantage of right now. Today. Today is the day. Said the time of our life is our day, which is to concern us to do the work of the day. Daytime is the proper season for work. During the day of life, we must be busy, not waste daytime. We can't afford to waste time. You know, that's something that we don't have an abundance of. We don't have an abundance of time. We can't afford to just treat it lightly. It's valuable. Time to us is valuable. And we have to treat it that way. We have to treat it with the importance that it deserves. We can't just, oh, I'll have tomorrow. We can't think about that. That way, when it comes to examining our spiritual life, we can't count on tomorrow. We can't count on it. There are several verses in some of the songs that we sing. One is the last verse of 361. It has some encouraging words for us. It says, let us then be up and doing. We have but a few more days. Priceless souls of men to rescue from their dark and sinful ways. Courage, brother, work and suffer till this fleeting life is past. God will recompense our labors with a great reward at last. We have to be up and doing. We don't have any time to lose. Another verse of the song 397. It says, O souls, be up and doing. We have no time to lose. There's life and death before us. Oh, which one will we choose? We're choosing them now. We're choosing life or death right now by our actions. If we're counting on tomorrow, then we're choosing death. It's kind of a harsh way to think about it, but it's true. If I'm counting on God's mercy extending to me till tomorrow, then I'm choosing death. Choosing life is taking advantage of the opportunities that God gives me. In everything. In my his dealings with my soul, in him, in me doing the work that he would have me to do, I have to do it now. Be up and doing. We have no time to lose. There's life and death before us. Which one will you choose? Let us all take warning and heed the Savior's call. You know, it's a blessed privilege to have the great God of heaven calling upon us. That's a blessing. We can't just cast it and push it aside. We can't push his dealings aside. It's precious. We don't know when he'll come back again. We want to be one that, yes, Lord. Remember Samuel, when he finally realized, that was Samuel, wasn't it? When he finally realized it was God talking to him, after he thought it was Eli, what did he say? Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. That's what our response should be in God's dealing with us. Yes, Lord, what would you have me to do? Taking advantage of every opportunity that he gives. There's one other song where the songwriter touches each and every one along life's pathway. You know, we can think about, well, if I examine my life, I feel like I'm progressing pretty well, doing pretty good. But you know what? As we sung about, God has higher heights. God has deeper depths for us. You know what? If we think about it and we realize I have some work to do, then we need to take advantage of now. Now. The songwriter asked the question, where are we? Where are we along life's pathway? It starts with the sinner. The songwriter said, where are you, sinner? O sinner, where art thou? I have the wrong number. 392, yes. Thy soul, designed for light, is like a raging ocean or storms of solemn night. Then the songwriter spoke to the neglector. Neglector, where are you along life's pathway? Have you stopped and took time to examine your life? Don't be too late. You can't count on tomorrow. This call may leave you hopeless. Tomorrow, seal your fate. What about the backslider? Has the backslider stopped to consider, where are you? Where are you since you've gone astray? How's your life been since you turned away from God? Have things been going well for you? Or do you find yourself in a worse condition than when you were living for God? No peace attends your spirit. You weary all the day. Then the songwriter speaks to the Christian. Christian, where are you? The happy soul is blessed. Is your happy soul blessed while waiting by the river for thy eternal rest? He covered all of us, didn't he? Covered each one, then asked the question in the chorus, where are we? Where art thou? Where art thou, brother, sister, on life's way? Where art thou? Where art thou? Where goeth thou today? So as we think about and consider our life, as we examine our life, if the goal is to make heaven our home, are we on the right pathway? Are we going down the wrong road? I always want to be in the place where I'll be in tune with God's voice, be in tune with His dealings with me. When He speaks to me, that I say, yes, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? When He puts a little something in here to say, you need to reach a deeper depth. There's some higher heights for you. I want to be found seeking Him. And in that place, endeavoring by His grace and strength to be found in the place that He would have me to be. If there are maybe some uncomfortable places that He would have me to be, Lord, by Your help and by Your grace and strength, I can do it. We heard about that in Sunday school this morning. You know, of our own accord, we can't do it. Maybe God is pricking us in certain areas of our life. We can't do it of our own strength. We have to rely on God. I want to always be in that place. So as we think about each and every one of our lives, you know, again, it's an individual matter. We can't compare ourselves by ourselves or with somebody else. It's something that each and every one of us has to do on an individual matter and ask ourselves, where are we? Where are we along life's pathway? We must take time to examine ourselves to see where we are. Lord, help us. I desire your prayers.